Hello and welcome to the newest K-Scope podcast. Billy Reeves here. Bruce Sword's first solo LP is out now. We'll hear an interview, which I did down in Yeovil shortly, where Bruce talks about the album's inspiration and concept and live dates, plus some Stephen Wilson news coming up and music from Japan's Steve Jansen and Richard Barbieri and Anathema. First up, though, from the forthcoming album, Confessions of a Romance Novelist, this is the Anchoress, You and Only You.
There's something you should know. Your worst case scenario. And I know you think that I'm okay, but I guess you caught me on a good day. Sing away, save yourself. Don't waste your time.
Album Confessions of a Romance Novelist, out on K-Scope on January the 15th. Catherine Ann Davis is the multi-instrumentalist singer-songwriter behind The Anchoress, and the other voice you heard on that, Paul Draper from Manson, who also co-wrote and co-produced much of the album, as well as playing some bass and guitar. Catherine is on tour currently, as the keyboard player and singer with Simple Minds. Now, Bruce Sword of the Pineapple Thief has an album out right now. He's been very busy of late, hasn't he? The Pineapple Thief's Magnolia album, the album he made with Catatonia's Jonas Renske, joined Catatonia on their Dethroned and Uncrowned, Unplugged acoustic tour. He's been very busy in Yeovil creating 5.1 mixes, including the new Tesseract album and remixing Opeth's Deliverance LP. Now, this solo LP about growing up in a small town is simply entitled Bruce Sword. And this, before we hear from Bruce, is called Willow Tree.
Way to come.
Bruce Sword. From the album Bruce Sword, that's entitled Willow Tree. And you can download this track for free by going to the Kscope website. Now, I met up with Bruce Sword in the listening room upstairs at Sword Studios down in Yeovil recently. And, of course, I started by asking him, solo album, why?
It's something that I've been wanting to do for years. And The Pineapple Thief, I guess, what started as a solo project, but it's become its own thing. It's turned into an entity, almost like bigger, certainly bigger than me as an individual. And there were things that I wanted to do, the sort of music that I love that I couldn't do with The Pineapple Thief. And so I, when the opportunity came along, I just jumped at it and I thought, wow, this is what a great thing for me to be able to do if someone would release it and people would listen to it, just to do, you know, lock myself away and just do something purely.
Isn't that a little bit lonely, though? I mean, if there's no one to kind of feed off of, feedback, or bounce stuff, ideas off, was it only you doing it, or did you ask anybody whether or not it was any good?
No, well, yeah, that's the thing, because I thought, oh, this will be great. I won't have to answer to anyone. I just go into my studio and I will just, this album will just come out in no time. And I think after about a week of writing songs and recording them on my own, I realised, God, this is really weird, and it is a really lonely existence. And I remember spending a lot of time in here, actually. I'd open the window, the window, and I'd listen to the sort of sound of this, my small town of Yeovil, and I'd sort of lie on my sofa in the fetal position going, oh my God, you know, what am I going to do? I've got, you know, and I'd end up having to sort of bounce ideas off myself in order to continue. And it was really unique experience.
Because you are several different people in this situation anyway. You're writer, producer, engineer, you're making your own tea, you're sweeping up afterwards, I guess. So that's to your advantage, isn't it? You said that you were asked to do it. So were these songs specifically written for this project then?
They were. I mean, the story is that I'd always wanted to do a solo record. Well, I say always, last couple of years. And we were due to release a Wisdom of Crowds record this year, but it just didn't happen because of Catatonia commitments. So I knew there was a place on Kscope. And I said to Johnny at Kscope, I said, oh, well, you know, I've got a solo album that I've been working on for, you know, and they said, oh, great, can we hear it? I said, oh, yeah, of course, of course. But I was like, oh, these songs were only in my head.
In your head.
But I thought, you know, being arrogant songwriter I was, I'd just be able to go and write all these songs and it would be done in no time. But so that was it. I basically said to Kscope, yes, I'll get it to you. It's done.
And clever.
Which the
secret's out.
I thought it was clever until I actually sat down to do it and then had a bit of a panic attack. But yeah, luckily. This day we stay motionless. Thank you.
the artwork I love as well, in that it seems to represent the music. It seems to be kind of, there seems to be a kind of local vibe. There's a Yeovil sense to it, in that the way that the kind of mélange of images on the record suggests a suburban Somerset town. Have I got that right, or have I got that wrong?
You've got that exactly right. And I did that with a friend of mine here in Yeovil, and we both wanted to celebrate the small town that I grew up in. And and I remember when I was a kid growing up, that it was so vibrant. There was people doing gigs in every sort of building that you could think of. Kids my age queuing up to see whatever band was playing, and these kids are still here. But unfortunately, there's just not, the venues have closed, the record shops have closed, but there's still something about this town, and we wanted to celebrate it, just like so many other people that must live in these sort of suburban areas.
But this is we're talking about as a suburb because it has that feel, because it is a large town. Yeah. You used to talk about it as a small town, but it's actually quite a large town. But it's quite isolated. I mean, we're a long way from a city. This isn't a suburb of anywhere.
No, yeah, you're right. And, it's a sort of a town of about 50,000, 40,000, but in the middle of rural Somerset. Mm. It is isolated. And you do get that feeling. And you also got the feeling I don't think it's true, but the interesting, arty people, the musicians, would leave. They would go to Bristol or go to London with the general places, and sort of leaving this place as a bit of a artistic ghost town. But I don't think that's true. Well, obviously, I'm still here. So, the record that I wrote was I thought, as it's a solo record, I could be a little bit self-indulgent. Yeah, and so I just went back to my past, and the songs are all based on experiences of growing up in this town, and a lot, allegories of experiences, really.
Yeah, because I wonder if that's actually everyone's experience, because people, we talk about, the great sort of powerhouses, cities of art. Bristol is a great mixture of influences. London is the greatest city in Europe. Glasgow and Manchester. And yet the people who go to those cities are from outside of those cities. They are actually all small town people that go to the city and find their own kind of loneliness, aren't they? I mean, everyone's a small town person in England, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you could argue that. And the obvious difference is that there's not quite so much to do as if you are in a really vibrant sort of big city, like you said, like London and Bristol and Manchester. But yeah, we are all at heart small town boys, aren't we? Boys and girls. So.
And of course, Jimmy Webb, the songs that he, the Galvestons and all the rest of it, they're all funny little places.
Yeah.
So are you going to be able to tour it? I mean, if you're doing everything on this record on your own, how are you going to present it live? Would you like to present it live? How are you going to do it?
I would love to take it out on the road, and I'm hoping to do some sort of a couple of sort of key shows, in unfortunately in the big towns.
Yeah,
unfortunately. But I mean, instrumentally, like you said, because I've over 20 years I've been able to sort of do most things myself, but instrumentally I can take it out with a band, and so I'm already talking to some people that we can sort of hopefully put together a really nice live experience for it.
It's intimate, as you said, from a songwriting point of view, but there's a kind of certain threadbare epic, if I may use that phrase. That's what the music I've heard from it, that was the sort of phrase. I thought, how am I going to describe it? And it was threadbare epic. It's intimate, but it's quite expansive as well, so it will fill a room.
Yeah, I think it will. And it was an interesting period, actually, when I wrote the record, because everything started with an acoustic guitar, and I just sort of threw it together. And because I've got such a great relationship with K-Scope, that Johnny there had a listen, and he phoned me up and said, Bruce, these songs are great, but he gave me some real pointers in how he felt the production should change. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this is so. In one way, yeah, it's a solo record, but actually, it was a really refreshing relationship that I had with K-Scope to get it done.
A-R-ing, mate,
well, it was, yeah, it? Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess it would be a bit predictable and cheesy for it to be acoustic.
That's what I started out, and to be honest, it sounded okay, but it just didn't have that sort of special
unsettling.
Yeah, and so I almost ripped it all up and started again with a completely different production hat on, and I think that's when it became quite sparse. Mm. And like you said, but still with hopefully, you know, in, with some depth and, you know, so repeated listens, that kind of thing. But yeah, and the sound of the record completely changed.
Okay, final question from me then, as you are the essentially the only person responsible for this record. What's your relationship with it like? The reason I ask that is that, do you think, okay, if I listen to it again, I'm going to want to fiddle with it? It was introspective, and yet now it's got to be shared with the rest of the world. What's your relationship with it like now?
Funnily enough, I am really happy just to leave it as a fully cooked piece of music. You know, at the moment, you know, I think when I come to share it with other people, I'm going to be really quite refreshingly satisfied, I think, with it.
Sword. The album is out now. That's called The Odds. And before that, you heard Familiar Patterns. My thanks to Bruce for inviting me down to Yeovil. Always rains when I'm down there. Now then, here's the first new music in 17 years from Steve Jansen and Richard Barbieri, best known perhaps for being in Japan. The album Stone to Flesh, re-released by K-Scope, and it includes a new track, Map of Falling. Thank you.
Steve Jansen, Richard Barbieri, Stone to Flesh, has been re-released by K-Scope. It's out now, and it includes that as a bonus track, Map of Falling. And Electronic Sound magazine is hosting the video of that presently. electronicsound.co.uk. Stone to Flesh, Steve Jansen and Richard Barbieri. News then. Let's start with Stephen Wilson news. Stephen is releasing a new album on K-Scope on the 22nd of January, entitled Four and a Half, so-called as it's a cusp LP between his most recent fourth solo album, Hand Cannot Erase, and the next one. Four and a Half comprises six tracks with a total running time of 37 minutes. Four of the songs originated during the sessions for Hand Cannot Erase. One from the recording sessions for the previous album, The Raven That Refused to Sing. And the final track is a version of Don't Hate Me, a song originally recorded by Porcupine Tree back in 1998, based on a live recording made on Stephen Wilson's recent tour of Europe. Details of formats and the beautiful artwork are at the K-Scope website, kscopemusic.com, where you'll also find the incredibly moving animated video for Routine from Hand Cannot Erase. And you can see Stephen Wilson live in January. UK dates, January the 25th in Brighton, the 26th in Bristol, the 27th in London at the Hammersmith Apollo, 29th Manchester, 30th Newcastle at the City Hall. And also out now, Porcupine Tree, The Delirium Years, 1994 to 1997. Gathering together two pivotal double LP Porcupine Tree studio releases, along with the breakthrough Coma Divine triple live LP and a four-track bonus 12-inch EP, so an 8-LP box set. All of the audio, pressed on 180-gram heavyweight vinyl, has been remastered by Stephen and comes packaged in a deluxe box with a 40-page perfect-bound book containing extensive liner notes and a detailed band history of Porcupine Tree by the US journalist and critic Stephen Humphreys. Now, in February of next year, you'll be able to see K-Scope label mates Nordic Giants and Tesseract together on the UK leg of Tesseract's Polaris album tour. Details on the K-Scope website. But I'll leave you with this, if I may, from the gorgeous Anathema live concert film and album, A Sort of Homecoming. And you can see the beautiful visuals for this track from the film on the Anathema page of the K-Scope website right now. This is Anathema then, live in Liverpool Cathedral, A Natural Disaster. Billy Reeves here, speak to you soon.
I can't change what happened.
No matter what I say,
no matter what I do,
I
change what happened.
I can't change what happened.
No matter what I say.
No matter what I do.
I can't change what happened.
I can't change what happened. No, no.
And I fail. Lee Douglas, everybody!